Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and maybe a Twisted Mister or two. We never know. And hello, Pam. Hello, Naomi. And hello, Jody.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
How goes it, everybody?
Going great.
Very good. Naomi, are you with us? Off mute. You can't run the show if you're on mute, girlfriend.
Oh, my gracious. I'm already on mute. I can't believe it.
I'm taking your mute privileges away early tonight.
I'm setting the tone for the night. Huh?
Yeah, see? See how she is? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gracious. You have to get your whip out. Still.
I'm telling you. Well, Pam does my whip work. She's a fine whip work.
Yeah, she's a whippersnapper.
But we're taking your mute button away because you're not allowed to do that all night. And just say it. And good intro song there, Naomi. And so tell us about the artwork and the agenda for this evening.
Yeah, the agenda for this evening. Well, you know, I had that first contest the last show, Fly Me to the Moon, with the lovely artwork of Noelle T, which featured a moon or a slice of moon or, you know, a full moon or a half moon. Anyway, there was a moon in every art piece. And lovely art. So we have a few carryovers from that show. And then we will go into the art of Anna Dittman, which is, it's amazing. She's 20 years old. She's a digital illustrator with a strong passion for enigmatic portraiture. She studied in Georgia. And where is she living? It doesn't say where she's living now. So, well, anyway, she's born and raised in San Francisco. She lives in San Francisco. And, she started when she was a child. She wanted to recreate the world as she saw it. She started drawing all over her walls, her bedroom, you know, in her bedroom, all over the walls. She started to draw these strange, weird portraits. And, and she never stopped. And I just came across one of her amazing portraits, like illustrations. I don't know where I came across it. Like, I don't remember. I have so much stuff on my phone and I'm in my computer. But, you know, I just, you know, wow. I just went, wow, what unique and imaginative creations, you know. So I really wanted to feature her in one of our shows for one of our contests. And Anna Dittman, well, she has a love for nature, biology, and you see it throughout her work. You know, she uses inspiration from organic natural elements, mythology, history, movement, and texture. She even incorporates into her work lyrics and melodies, expressions, color variations, and pretty much anything which makes her grab her tablet and paint. So, you know, she grabs her inspiration from a lot of different places. And, you know, it's just amazing what she does. Really unique and very inspiring, I thought. We got an awesome amount of rights. People, you know, just really inspired by her artwork, and you know that we got a lot of personal rights, you know, to the art tonight. So I'm really looking forward to the show.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Okay. Well, you girls have at it.
I'm just going to go back because I was reading her biography. I'm going to float back to all poetry point. Come here. Yeah. Do my thing. Do my work. Get at it, Naomi. And, so I'm going to put up the first write, which is a carryover from last the last show, and it's by Peter Soloway, and it's called A Soft Landing. And well, Jody, since you're our wonderful guest on the show, why don't you go ahead and give it a read?
All right, sounds good. I'll start us off. All right. Soft landing. Slow dust to bounce around. Lovers enjoying the vacuum, not having to say anything. Better than Niagara Falls. Big rock with the dancers. Sunset over deserted lands. Terrestrial honeymoon full of craters to make love in. Watched by envious astronomers. End quote. That was a soft landing.
A wonderful write by Peter Soloway, you know, which always amazes me by his creativity, and I never know where he's going to take us. And, you know, this fits in so well with the topic that was, you know, Fly Me to the Moon, which is a very romantic song. And, you know, he writes a very sensual write to, you know, to the prompt that he chose. Well, he didn't really write which prompt it is, but I guess he took, like, you know, the idea in general. And it's crazy, you know, the moon and the way it really captivates us, you know, like everybody, this new thing about, you know, these people are paying bunches of money to go to the moon, and they want to, you know, go into space this falling in love with the moon and with the planets and with the outer space. It's really a new phenomenon. I said it in French. Yeah, and that's what, like you said. And our extraterrestrial honeymoon full of craters to make love in, watched by envious astronomers. I really liked, you know, a lot of this. Better than Niagara Falls, Big Rock, and the dancers, sunset over deserted lands. That's kind of, you know, there's not much on the moon, you know. There's big holes to make love in. That's about it, but yeah, it's quite a deserted place. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, well, I thought this was a clever brevity. I told him a honeymoon on the moon. I wouldn't be surprised if that eventually becomes the latest craze with millionaires and their supermodel wives. You know, I mean, you could just, I kind of like how there's an underlying humor to this, and the idea of people just want to keep showing each other up. You know, they want to travel now to space, not for the sake of, you know, exploring space and learning something, but just for the sake of a status. And I do like where he mentions, where was that? I think there's also, you know, a bite within the line, lovers enjoy the vacuum, not having to say anything. So in other words, there's that emptiness where you don't have to have that human interaction, and yet you can still be together. So excellent write and very well done.
Wonderful. Great observations there, Pam. And Jody, what is your take on traveling to space?
I think he did a very good job. You know, he was portraying, you know, being joyful, spending time together. And then, you know, I think he skillfully portrayed putting an adventure in with it, right? Which it wouldn't resonate with that. If you're in love and feeling those emotions, you know, adventures, come in small forms, big forms, or, you know, you can go to the laundromat or you can go to the moon, apparently. So, yeah. I did a very good job with that. Nice little brevity. Well done.
I like that. You can go to the laundromat or you can go to the moon, wherever. If you're in love, if you're in true love, what does it matter? Yeah, exactly. Great comment, Jody. And, I was going to say, what is going to be our next write? I guess I'm going to have to say that to myself. Come on, Naomi, what's going to be our next write? Oh, my gracious.
At least you aren't muted, right?
Oh, boy. Okay. Hello to Kind Poet out on the board. So appreciate you listening in. And our next poem is by Blatant B, Dreamlike State. And it's Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read.
I'll be happy to. Dolloping drips delve deep, digging decoratively into dreams. Slithering slumbers, season sensations into streams, burrowing betas, bouncing brains as beams, meandering motions mimicking meritorious memes. Welcome to the house of me, where unlocked doors still get handed a key, where many hide, but we're set free, where irony festers with trickery. Where trauma is traumatized with imagery, his grimacing like a stroke, grabbing attention like a poke, hard to read like oak, don't be asked for like folk, leaky faucets drown running ideas like waterfalls, spitting currents, debris, crashing floods and infiltrating homes as osmosis overwhelms oscillating overcast occurrences. Dreary dreams defecate, deliberate developments, dozing demand for deliverance. I think I need to wake up indefinitely. End poem.
Is your tongue all tied up, Pam?
I guess, yeah.
Wow, hey, there's an amazing alliteration in this one. Like it was a real tongue twister right from the those beginning words there, that beginning line. Those beginning lines, the D sound, the S sound, and the B sound, and the M sound. My gracious, that whole first stanza was something amazing. And I really like this. You know, dreary dreams defecate. Deliberate developments, dozing demand for deliverance. I think I need to wake up indefinitely. Yeah, you know, talking about, you know, just needing to come into reality, I guess, and seize, you know, what's really going on and around him, you know, in life. That's what I got out of it. What did you think, Jody? Mr. Jody?
Now you got me on mute.
It catches, eh? It's a disease.
I thought there was a definite, you know, you see the contrast between like the internal world of his dreams and the external reality, you know, with Welcome to the House of Me. And that's pretty striking. Fine. I like that. Then he had water in various forms as well, like dripping faucets to overwhelming floods. You know, they were serving as great metaphors for the flow of his thoughts and ideas. Very well done. Very thought provoking.
Yeah, I like that, the water as a metaphor for the his thoughts. Yeah, the flooded flowing of his thoughts. Yeah, wow, that is brilliant. And what did you think, Pam? It's Pam, are you on mute too?
I was, yes, sorry. I was actually, I was on mute, but I was trying to get my screen to, you know.
To cooperate.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, this is a great use of alliteration. Wonderful imagery. To me, it was an excellent light on waking the mind to the reality of life. And I like how he uses the heavy hand with the alliteration in the first stanza to really represent what can, I guess, be considered the chaos of the dreaming mind and the trauma that comes forth. But the leaky faucets, John, running ideas like waterfalls, I like that and the thought that, you know, too often, I'm trying to word this right, but it does make me think about the leaky faucets that keep you up at night, but it also makes me think of the idea of being overwhelmed with what's in our own mind. So excellent write and very well done.
Yeah, I get that, you know, overwhelmed with, you know, yeah, things that are going on, you know, what we're thinking about, whether it be things that worry us or, you know, or anything, just anything, plans. Oh, my gracious, like I'm always planning like so much ahead, you know, I never used to be like that. I don't know why, but oh, I'm just like planning ahead of time. And, you know, it's crazy. Yeah, I get that. So wonderful comment, Pam. And I have our next write up by Bookworm Dave. And I guess it's my turn to read. And this is called Catch a Star Tonight. Her room window wide open to the world. No mosquitoes this evening. Lightning bugs illuminated her night. Planets and constellations kept her in awe. With curiosity, she looked out. When you wish upon a star playing on her stereo, hoping she could just once catch that elusive star. Maybe her dreams would all come true. Wish for happiness. Wishes for true love, wishes for me and for you. Silently her kitten watched her. Kitty too wanted her wishes granted. Time with her, some play. But now it is time for sleep. As she air kissed the night sky, good night, please grant my wishes. And as her prayers are said after her wink, knowing she would receive a pleasant night. Lake and poem. And this is just so beautifully composed by Dave. Oh my gracious, you know, wonderful, wonderful, sweet and tender poem. I know that the prompt that he was writing to Catch a Star Tonight, you know, I can see it in my head, but just wonderful lines. You know, and when you wish upon a star playing on her stereo, hoping she could just once catch that elusive star, maybe her dreams would all come true. Wish for happiness, wishes for true love, wishes for me and for you. And then putting in the kitten in there, so cute too. Wonderful write by Bookworm Dave. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is a wonderful write. It's a beautiful story, right? It does have a sweetness and a sense of innocence to it. And, you know, I like how it has what I would assume is a child or a very young woman who has this sense of hope that dreams can and will come true, you know, saying those wishes upon the star, you know, maybe her dreams would all come true, wish for happiness, wishes for true love, wishes for me and for you. And then I really like the stanza that follows that with silently her kitten watched her. Kitty too wanted her wishes granted, time with her and some play. And I really feel like there's a lot said within those two stanzas showing the desire of the girl's heart and the desire of the kitty cat's heart. And while the girl wants all these, you know, perhaps a bit more grander things, all that the kitty cat wants is time with her girl, you know, and to play and be together. And, you know, I just really think that's a beautiful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Pam. I think the kitten does give it a like little charming touch to the poem. You know, the imagery with the room with the open window lit by fireflies, that's a serene mood for the whole poem. You know, and then it does have that childlike faith and wishes that, you know, kind of transports the reader right through the moments that they're going through. You know, I thought it was definitely a delightful reminder of the simple yet, you know, profound joys in life. You know, a sense of peace and optimism as you read it. I like that. It's very good, very good write.
Mm-hmm. It's a feel-good write, isn't it? It leaves you like in this enchanting spell of some sort. Good feel, right? So thank you so much, Bookworm Dave. And our next poem will be by Bill Schiller at the last launch. And Jody, if you want to go ahead and give that a read, please.
There we go. The last launch. From the twist of river's bend, let's abandon the leaking canoe of our sinking lives. We'll rise to the moon like ignited rocket. We can dance beside the comets, rest in trances upon silent moon. I'll sweep away the crater dust with whisk, the whiskers from a fattened cat passing for a fine flat broom. Lunar distractions will not define our excuse. When your life is wrecked, strife resorts to recluse. When at last adventures not allow spoons of partial breath, I'll travel to moon's darker side, smiling as accept heart of death. End poem.
Very great read there, Jody. Now I'm speaking in French. Voyant is like, how could I describe it? You say that when you make a mistake, you say, ah, voyant, don't, you know. anyway, yeah, I sweep away the crater dust with whisk. The whiskers from a fattened cat passing for a fine flat broom. Lunar distraction will not define our excuse when your life is wrecked. Strife resorts to recluse. When at last adventures not allow spoons of partial breath, I travel to moon's darker side, smiling as accept heart of death. The last launch. We dance beside the, I'm trying to get this because in the comment, I can't get much from the comment I wrote to her. I said, you know, wonderful, uniquely creative and thought-provoking right. What is he talking about? The leaking canoe of our sinking life. Oh, yes. The leaking canoe of our sinking lives will rise to the moon like a ignited rocket. We can dance beside the comets, rest in trance upon silent moon. From me, from what I get from it is, you know, we're just, you know, sinking. Our lives are just sinking. And, you know, we want to rise up to something maybe more hopeful, more gratifying. But then, you know, if we just accept, you know, life as it is, we can just travel and be smiling just travel to that darker side of the moon and smile anyway, and accept death. I guess, you know, talking about death too, that death comes for everybody. And yeah, that death is inevitable, and it comes, yeah, you can't escape death, it's there. And what is the meaning really of our life in all this, you know, if we're going to end up dying in the end anyway? This is a very thought-provoking write by Bill. My gracious, it really makes me, you know, ponder on every single line. And, you know, I love a poem that does that. So that's why I'm, like, really reading this over and over again. Pam, what did you think?
It is an absolutely intriguing write, and one that I think definitely has to be chewed on over and over. You know, and I like what you had to say, and I think you're probably a little more spot on than my first reaction. I did think this had just brilliant, thoughtful imagery and metaphors. And one of the messages that I got from it was the importance of not blaming nature. You know, like the whole idea that, and I do realize that a full moon can affect people's behavior, but I think sometimes we make personal choices that ruin our lives, and then we want to blame it on where, you know, if Jupiter was near Neptune or, you know, all of that different stuff. And instead of looking at astrology, you know, look at your own personal choices. Move away from the astrology and move towards actually, you know, making decisions for yourself, because you'll go farther in life, and then the stars, the sky, the night sky will have a more depth of meaning to you. And I really felt that within lunar distraction will not define our excuse when your life is wrecked. So amazing, thought-provoking lines, and very well done.
I like that. I like that, Pam. Yeah, that brought another layer to the right. And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, no, I thought, Bill, as usual, it seems like every time I read his poems, it's very skillfully written. He's definitely a very captivating writer. He got, you know, from going from dancing beside the comets, the whimsical touch of sweeping away the crater dust. He accepts, you know, like you were saying, he accepts death to the moon's darker side, and that, you know, that's both haunting and peaceful at the same time, so that was pretty clever. And it's just a captivating blend of, you know, someone's fantasy and then the existential reflection of life and the universe. Yeah, I thought it was an exceptional write, for sure.
Yes, I love that, that you put that, you know, forward, that juxtaposition that we see in the poem. Great observation there, Jody. And I have our next write-up. It's by Oshini. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read, please.
Absolutely. Always Have That in Mind by Oshini Creations. To every bird that has the care of Earth's babies in your hands, listen keenly and aptly the advice given in this poem. Take great care how you deal with the babies that are placed into your hands, because however you shape their lives will affect how they shape their homes tomorrow. How you nurture them today will affect how they nurture their homes tomorrow. So when you nurture them, always have that in mind. Them today will affect how they teach their homes tomorrow. So when you teach them, always have that in mind. How you counsel them today will affect how they counsel their homes tomorrow. So when you counsel them, always have that in mind. So when you look at the babies in your nest that you have the responsibility to care for, don't see them as just mere babies, but instead keep your vision focused on the homemakers will be tomorrow. Time with great intention, nurture, teach, and counsel them in ways that will make them the best homemakers tomorrow. End poem.
Yeah, what a great, great write by Oshini, and what a piece of, you know, of advice. You know, this is like a wonderful hymn of giving praise and thankfulness, you know, and a great piece of wisdom that, you know, your children are your future. And it's so funny because, you know, somebody just asked me before the show, you know, what do you think is going to be your greatest legacy, you know, that you leave? And I answered, you know, it's going to be the values that I gave to my children and that they're giving in their turn to my granddaughters. I only have granddaughters, so I don't say grandchildren because I have five granddaughters. They can only make girls, I guess, in my family. And that I think, you know, is precious. You know, when you're a parent and you're bringing up your children, where is the line? She says. So when you look at the babies in your nest that you have the responsibility to care for, don't see them just as mere babies, but instead keep your vision focused on the homemakers they'll be tomorrow. You know, that is so true. You know, when you're bringing up your kids, you know, you have to les inculquer, inculcate, is that a word in English? And you have to transmit them these values, you know, these values that they will transmit to their children, you know, great, awesome values, you know, the kindness, love, taking care of our planet, taking care of each other, and just respect. You know, respecting each other, respecting, you know, whatever, you know, the values you have, you know, it's important to transmit them to so that future generations will have those values. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot of what you said. You know, it is about teaching values and wisdom and passing it on, you know, to our children for the future. I always found it difficult to understand how we can pay guys millions of dollars to play sports in this country, but pay our teachers bare minimum when they have such an impact on our children. Never could understand that. But, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. As a teacher, thank you.
And, you know, you can just see, you know, how. And, you know, in a broader interpretation, you know, how her influence should be able to go far beyond the immediate interactions with, you know, just the students and the kids, but you could really have a broad range of impact with that. It was very heartfelt, I thought, you know, because it is important to shape our children for tomorrow. And I thought she was, reflecting on the responsibilities that we need to positively influence the next generations very well. She, what was it? It was something she repeated that will affect how they, you know, that's an impactful line, and she used that several times. Yeah, that was very good. Very good, right? I enjoyed that. Very powerful.
Wonderful comment. Yeah, powerful indeed. She has a strong voice, so she does, you know, strong convictions and, you know, very powerful in her writing. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. It is filled with so much heart and so much wisdom. And I like that she's using a voice that's speaking to the birds, and yet you know that it is speaking to all parents, to all mothers, to all fathers, to every human and creature that is raising a young one. You know, that the idea that, as you two were talking about, that the values that are passed on, not only to show how they should raise their own family, but, you know, how they should care about the rest of the world, about the people around them. I really like her use of the word counsel. How you counsel them today will affect how they counsel their homes tomorrow. So when you counsel them, always have that in mind. There was some great use of repetition that really drove the point home. And also when she says, I really like when she says, don't see them as just mere babies, but instead keep your vision focused on the homemakers they'll be tomorrow. And I like to think that homemakers, you know, just not only means, you know, taking care of your own home, but rather remembering that, that Earth itself is our temporary home also. And, you know, focusing on how do we take care of that. So beautiful, thoughtful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful point you brought up, Pam, about the, you know, taking care of our home, the Earth, you know. Yeah, that's our home too, not just our house and, you know, where we live, you know, the house, but, you know, our family, but, you know, the world as a whole, the Earth. Wonderful comment there. And our last poem, you know, for that Fly Me to the Moon contest is a Faithful Moon by Enyan 7. And it's my turn to read, isn't it? Is it? Yeah, I guess so. Faithful Moon. Each night you stayed through times of pain, you were my confidant. Along paths of darkness, you were my light. Conflicted with from anger, you were my tranquility. Distraught from fear, you were my savior. And when you laugh, engaged in flight, it was you who were my energy. Upon twilight stars, I dance over skies to you, through galaxies hued with cobalt and violet, to embrace each cycle you change. I see you. I live you, my faithful moon. Ah, what a beautiful, beautiful poem. You know, just an amazing personification of the moon here. And, you know, how the moon is, you know, is always there. Each night you stayed through times of pain, you are my confidant. You're my light, you know. Yeah, how many times have we looked the moon and just, you know, in a dreamlike state and, you know, whether in sadness or in happiness, and we just stared at it. I really love this poem. What did you think, Pam?
You know what? I have to agree. This is absolutely beautiful. It is a wonderful personification, and there's such an emotional impact with these lines. Conflicted from anger, you were my tranquility. Distraught from fear, you were my savior. And when my laugh engaged in flight, it was you who were my energy. And I love how she writes about having such a deep connection with the moon. But I also like how the moon could be actually a representation of a person that has always been there for her. So wonderful write and very well done.
So true. Yeah, I thought that too could be a metaphor for, you know, a person. Yeah. Wonderful observation. Wonderful comment, Pam. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was really nice. You could just feel the admiration she has for the moon. It's almost like a magical quality to it. Yeah, she did a wonderful job with that. Very well expressed. Imageries, you know, dancing through the stars and galaxies to reach the moon. Like, you know, almost a spiritual connection with the cosmos. Yeah, I enjoyed that. I mean, there's a lot to like about that if you really break it down. Well written, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wonderful, wonderful lines. Wonderful comments, Jody. And, for the first write in our Anna Dittman, the Enigmatic Portrait Contest, I'm going to put up Eric Svensson, Journey to Ithaca. And it has a SoundCloud.
Journey to Ithaca. Nuts and bolts, bits and pieces. Journey to Ithaca proceeds. Siren songs and gizmo gongs. Chain gang technology hustles. Histrionics of optic fiber. Robotics, Starship Troopers somersault, sensory overloads gestalt assault, water slide down well-lubed tubes, denizens of the Rubik's Cube, face off, face on, clandestine conversion of deep fake aesthetics, humanoid perfection engineered. Snazzy shades shield robotic eyes. Journey to Ithaca proceeds. Robotic heart supercharged. Laser technology protects against siren songs. Rudimentary GPS microchip brain implanted. Hush, little baby. Don't you cry. AI daddy's going to create you a new toy boy. Chisel jaw Flash Gordon, teletransported at a whim. Colts, jolts, and zigzag lightning bolts. Megabytes of perfected posh pecs. Behold transhumanism's epic, albeit frenetic journey. Ithaca, end poem.
Wonderful SoundCloud and wonderful write by Eric Svensson. What a wonderful read. And thank you so much, Eric, for providing us with that SoundCloud. And send those SoundClouds in, guys, those audios, because we love hearing your poetry and your voice. And this was just amazing. I laughed at hush, little baby, don't you cry. AI daddy's going to create you a new toy boy. Chisel jaw, Flash Gordon, teletransported at a whim. I laughed at that, but then at the same time, it was like sad a bit because it made me think on how, as a society, most of us put more importance on the beauty of the outside wrapping than they do on what is on the inside and, you know, all the amazing value that lies within. Whether it be, you know, when they look at other human beings or things or just, you know, the appreciation of a moment in time. That's what I got from that little piece there. But he touches on a lot in this poem, just how artificial intelligence is taking over, and you know, how it impacts, you know, our lives. And what did you think, Pam, this poem?
I thought this was really quite an intelligent write, a wonderful mm-hmm. science fiction style write that, you know, tells the story of a future society that, as you were saying, does have this obsession with beauty, with perfection. It was funny, you know, especially when he says, "Hush, little baby, don't you cry. AI daddy's going to create you a new toy boy, chiseled jaw, Flash Gordon, Tella, transported at a whim." And, you know, transported at a whim, basically, it's not only, like, to me, I think this really takes a bite at artificial intelligence used to create art and poetry, which should have a strong sense of humanity to it, and it's losing its humanity. But mm-hmm. it's a lot of stuff like that is created because we as a society want, desire instant gratification. And so amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. You know, that's a wonderful observation, Pam, there. On, you know, especially, you know, when we're talking about poetry, you know, yeah, you can create a poem in a second, right, and nowadays. But, you know, I was thinking also, you know, on the line, transported at a whim, you know, Amazon, when you want something, like when you want something, oh my gracious, it's like they're waiting in a truck at the corner of your road. the way, the quickness in which you get stuff delivered nowadays, it's ridiculous. It's just crazy. You know, why go out and shop in stores when you can get something in the matter of a few hours, you know? But, you know, you have to, you know, just a note out there, you know. Well, here in Quebec, it's very important to us to help local industries, local stores. I don't know about, you know, well, probably it is important all over the world, but, you know, encourage those local shops and those local stores, you know, that are, you know, sometimes the homeowners, they work in there, you know, for hours and hours just to keep up their business, you know. Go out and buy. I know maybe it's a bit, little bit more expensive, but, you know, it's so important for a community to keep up those local shops. Anyway, this is just a piece of my blabbing tonight. And yeah, what a wonderful write here by Eric Svensson. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was fascinating. I really enjoyed that the way he blended the journey to Ithaca. You know, one of the most epic journeys, right? And then blended that with technology. That was impressive. That was very well done. Yeah, wow, there's just so much you can say about this. From the very compelling imagery, you know, conveying the complexities that we deal with. And he used pretty intelligent words like starship trooper, somersault, sensory overloads, just assault, you know what I mean? Pretty much just talking about the disorientation that technology puts people in and through our perception. Yeah, wow, this is very, very intelligently done. I would think this should be a front page pick. I really do. The way he mirrored the ancient journey to Ithaca with the modern twist like that, that was very impressive. Yeah, very well done.
Absolutely. Let's nominate it. We'll do that after the show. Nominate Eric Svensson's piece. I think so, too. Wonderful, wonderful comment, Jody. And yeah, it is a great poem that would be wonderful on the front page of AP for sure. And I have our next write-up, which is Human Natural by Robert J. Tice. And Jody, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Okay. Human Natural. We're human, foremost, soul and flesh, with the new hearts and skeletons on path, alive as life itself, distinctly driven to exist, instinctively in search of light, biotic, though with artistry. Creators of creation calls proceeding out of deeper seeds, the heavens planted in this ground. From cosmic loom, the soils of stars come everything, runs everything, stops everything, starts everything. Let us acknowledge basic facts, ingredients of elements assembled here in special time. Let us give thanks to trees, the seed, that atmosphere so long prepared so there could be this air to breathe. Let us esteem ecology, our organisms unisized in habitats that work to thrive. And let us really give a damn when nature meets our negligence or some endangered thing goes lost. For human nature's life of life, a yield of the dust and trust from every growth endowed before. No human nature's all this land, these mountains, meadows flourishing, the planet's wellness is our own. Our lungs inhale its oxygen. We feast on harvest, starve in deserts, the earth bears life, brings sustenance. These flowers of the day are us. What blooms or wilts concerns us all. Discount no petal. Love each leaf. End poem.
Wonderful read, Jody. And, you know, I just love that final line. Discount no petal. Love each leaf. That should be like a quotation, you know, for a great quotation. Well, it is. Discount no petal, love each leaf. That's so beautifully written. And, you know, what an important message conveyed through these lines by Robert here. You know, indeed, you know, without the trees, without the sea, without our oceans, without, you know, the whole healthy ecosystem, we wouldn't have any air to breathe and we wouldn't have any, you know, water to drink. You know, we wouldn't be able to survive. You know, we don't take care of our planet, you know. We have to start, you know, taking care of our home, Earth. And this is so awesomely well written. And bravo, Robert. Wow, Human Natural. I love that title, too. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's a thoughtful and a philosophical write, wonderful imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks on how that the human instinct to survive oftentimes conflicts with our destruction of nature. It's like you were saying, Naomi, we need trees, we need nature for our survival. And yet we seem to, you know, end up destroying what we need to survive. I really like, let us acknowledge basic facts, ingredients of elements assembled here in special time, and let us give thanks to trees, the sea, that atmosphere so long prepared so there could be this air to breathe. You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Pam. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything he was saying there. You know, it is our well-being is directly impacted by the health of the planet. You know what I mean? And I thought he touched on that when he's talking about the flowers of the day. You know, that's a good metaphor for that. And, you know, we do have a deep connection and responsibility to this world to protect it and cherish it for our children. You know, we want to leave it better than we was left it ourselves, but it don't look like that's going to happen. You know, I mean, there's consequences to that. It really is. The fact that we even have to discuss it, I mean, that should be like at the forefront of everybody's mind, right? And it's just not even a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a great poem of awareness. I enjoyed that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we're still fighting on over it, eh? You know, it's awful. You know, the politicians, they put the blame on, of course, we all have to do our part. But I mean, these big companies, I mean, you know, that are polluting, my gracious, you know. And anyway,
that should be like one of the first classes you take in school, how to take care of the planet. You know,
yeah.
Why aren't we teaching that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here in Quebec, we do it more and more often. We have like a segments of that in our classrooms. I don't know about other countries, but, you know, we have gardens, you know, in the schoolyards, you know, so there's a real, you know, real embracement of taking care of our planet, teaching that importance to our young people, young children. But
awesome.
It has to be, you know, worldwide, I think, you know. But wonderful comment there, Jody. And I put up our next poem, which is by Rodrigo 22. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
All right. Tearful Exposure by Rodrigo 22. She poses for the photo, her upper half naked, way out of her comfort zone, struggling to stifle shyness. The grumpy photographer, move your back, twist your body to me, lift your chin more. She feels so exposed. She is getting colder except for burning tears, fighting behind her eyes to escape. Please, can this be over? Wish I had my sweater. Is my lip quivering? What move again? She can't cry. She berates herself. My makeup will smudge. Can you just take the damn shot? End poem.
Wonderful, wonderful read there, Pam. And, you know, I read this the first time and then I said, okay, you know, I was thinking of a model. But, you know, a model, you know, the model's life, you know, y'all think it's all glamorous, but, you know, it's really hard, you know. But then I reread it and I took it further, you know, I took it as an extended metaphor for how society controls us to act and perform and to be, and, you know, how we're stuck in this, like this society which tries to shape us, and you know you go into burnout sometimes, you know, because you work too much, all these mental problems that erupt because society pushes young people that, you know, they see people, all these videos on TikTok, and, you know, they're never pleased with their appearance. They're always judging. They're always comparing themselves to other people, never contented of their lives because everybody else's lives seem to be so much better than their own. You know, I took it as that, you know, a tearful exposure of, you know, of just how the world and society just pulls and yanks and shoves at you, you know, everything up in your face, you know. I don't know if I was taking it too far, but, you know, that's what I got out of it. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, no, I definitely could see the struggle that she was having with all his, you know, commands, and then her trying to be vulnerable and very discomfort. She's worrying about her appearance, you know what I mean? And it's definitely an emotional toll that in situations can take on, you know, any form of art. When they're collaborating together, you know, you got to have empathy for who you're working with, right? I thought that was pretty powerful, right, on that, you know, how those situations can be a struggle for sure. Well done.
Whoops, off mute, Naomi. Wonderfully said, Jody. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I too took this as an extended metaphor for feeling exposed and controlled. I mean, it could be taken literally, and, you know, it's definitely a good literal right, but I feel like there is that extended metaphor there on the idea of how somebody, like society, especially, you know, I think women want to control them, to put them into these boxes saying, this is the woman you are supposed to be. This is the way you are supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to be comfortable with. This is what you're supposed to be uncomfortable with. And then, you know, gets angry when you don't fit into that box. I also think it's more metaphorically because, honestly, I can't imagine any photographer yelling at somebody, because any truly good photographer knows that the way that you get your best pictures is to make your subject. But I did like the emotional impact of this write and the idea of the extended metaphor. So excellent write and very well done.
Wonderfully said there, Pam. And wonderful write. Thank you so much, Rodrigo. I really enjoyed this one. And I have a next write-up by The Atonement by Titus and the poetry of Dorian Gray, and it has a SoundCloud.
The poetry of Dorian Gray, The Atonement. One unfortunately gazes back to one's youth to see how far the bleakest futures pose. Now my 70th year will more than transpose as a pastime. Life, it has given me the truth. It's more as a warning given my skills are inept. Yet to theorize the reasons behind my writing unforeseen on the surface, still my having kept the secret to some dark forgotten time, inciting mystery, not my history as such. Worry lurks, but not on the face of the wearer, agedness. It has enabled a fluid mind to persevere, works of a kind enable that would engineer coalesce, unification for a common end to join forces. Having hidden many reams, it seems the dreams they fear are yours. The nastiest endorses a spring in the step of the words of the writer, whose confidence has now brought furthermore understanding fear, will volunteer given a lighter than light personality, is one love cannot censor. To learn is to love, to loathe they will but yearn, to find the willingness but is beyond knowing, under the auspice of the occasion, it is to learn, given the understanding on my face is showing the strength of character, but not as a doormat, to make amends, I would give my soul for that.
Wonderful SoundCloud, Titus. A wonderful read there. And, you know, what a beautiful home. And, you know, I went and read, you know, the summary of, because, you know, I knew the story a bit of Dorian Gray and, you know, with the portrait and, you know, the portrait keeps all his, keeps him from aging. And, you know, I knew that, but I didn't know all the story behind it by Oscar Wilde. And so I went and I read the summary and wow, you know, I have to read that book. My gracious, it really, you know, seems to be amazing. And yeah, you know, this eternal search of youth and eternal beauty, you know, that it touches on this you know, the subject of Dorian Gray. And I'm going to go back to that, right? I lost my computer here. Pam, can you comment while I get back my computer back?
Absolutely. Yeah, I like how he had a combination of, like, being inspired by that photograph or that artwork of this very, you know, handsome young man who looks rather aloof, I would say. Story of Dorian Gray. I have never read the story of Dorian Gray. I mean, I know basically the basic idea of it, and I've read some lines from it, you know, from like contests, but never read the full thing. But I do like how there's a really emotional impact with this writing, and his word choices give it a very classic feel. I also thought it was just a really beautiful and thoughtful write that speaks on righting the wrongs of our past regrets. I really like unification for a common end to join forces. Having hidden many dreams, it seems the dreams they fear are yours. The nastiest endorses a spring in the steps of the words of the writer whose confidence has now brought furthermore understanding fear will volunteer. Given a lighter. And, you know, I like those lines and how it speaks on the idea of how we allow fear to become anger and to control us. So wonderful, right? And very well done.
Amazing comment, Pam. And yeah, you know, I love how he finishes out, like the story of Dorian Gray, you know, he wants to pay amends for all the wrong that he does because he becomes such a really a disgusting evil person. You know, he kills people and, you know, and in the story. And, yeah, he really, you know, and in the end, he wants to pay for the amends for all the sinful things that he's done in his life, and he destroys the portrait, and then they discover his you know, his body, his aged body, his withered away body, you know, on the floor. So I like that last line that he puts in here: to make amends, I would give my soul for that. You know, which is really a reflection back to the story itself. And yeah, I like the part that you cited, Pam. You know, a very powerful write, a very, like you said, elegantly written, like a classical feel to it, right? And beautifully done by Titus here. And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I agree. That is very relatable. You know, it's a universal thing to want to make amends for your past and have self-acceptance and try to give yourself self-forgiveness for what you've done in your past. It was definitely layered with great language. I find it interesting to read older poets, you know, the way they word things and the way they're able to manipulate thought through them words. It's pretty impressive. You can learn something from that. I thought it was a great write. Very, very well done. You know, it's pretty much, you know, he took you on a muse of his own journey through life and the lessons that he's learned, right? Thought that was pretty well done. Good job.
Wonderful comment, Jody. And yeah, amazing, right? Thank you so much, Titus, for sharing that with us tonight. I'm so happy that, you know, that you were inspired by the art. And so thank you so much. And I have our next right on the board, which is Taint by My Angel 3. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to. Taint by My Angel 3. They say I'm tainted, whoever they are. These stains leak from their knives. These pains creep from their lives. These bones creak, hollow and drying. I don't hold myself up to their black mirrors, crave ascension to attention heaven, covet ambient applause. I do not seek redemption, nor wish to give that impression from non-thinking hives of sycophantic-minded drivel. Should I appear in thoughts, I'd rather it was not bought and sold, transactional and cold, smuggling crumbs of love on plates of validation. Yes, I am nothing but tainted by the frozen fabric of emperor's new clothes, pretentious and faux, wrapped around bones of title woes, keeping warm enough to functions, enough to run functions, frigid enough to stay in stasis. I'll die, of course, when it is my appointed time. Let them write of me an ostentatious obituary praising my journey without knowing its path. Poem.
Wonderful read there, Pam. And you know, My Angel 3, yeah. She wrote a note. I saw the painting and immediately thought of my Native American ancestors. And I love how she attacks this, you know. They say I'm tainted, whoever they are, you know, whoever these full of themselves think they're better than us, think they are. They say I'm tainted. And right away I thought of the Métis and, you know, the Native Americans, and but especially the Métis, which were, you know, were said to be tainted, and these stains leak from their knives, these pains creep from their lives, these bones creak hollow and drying. Wonderful, wonderful lines there. My gracious, you know, I wish, you know, those are lines that you read them and you say, oh my gracious, why didn't I think of rewriting something like that? You know, just amazing writing all the way through. And this could be taking, you know, I think it's relatable, you know, to, you know, our ancestors, to ourselves today. You know, just the way we go through life and other people judge us every day, and they judge us without knowing, without being in our shoes, without having that journey, you know, that we've had. So who are they to judge us? Who are they to judge anybody? And whether it's taken as a look upon the Native Americans, or, you know, the Métis, as I said, or, you know, just ourselves are, you know, today, it is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful write by my Angel 3. What did you think, Jody, of the write?
Yeah, that kind of goes back to what you touched on earlier about legacy, right? She don't want to be known for what car she drove, you know. She's got a yearning for being remembered through human connection. And that, you know, people live a hollowed existence in the superficial norms of society. And they do. There's a lot of people that do. I've known quite a few. But, yeah, I thought she did a very good job, you know, really hammering at home on the superficiality of society, you know, and how we should all be yearning for more meaningful human interactions. I can remember I used to have to walk 5 blocks just to see if my friend was home. No, he wasn't home, so I'd walk 5 blocks back. Now you just pick up your phone, text, and no human interaction at all. She really hammered that point home. I liked it. Yeah, I thought that was very
well. I'm on mute again. Wonderful observation, Jody. And yeah, you took it to another place. But yeah, now I another place that I see. Wonderful, wonderful thought. Provoking, right? And a wonderful comment, Jody. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, my goodness. I think this is probably one of my absolute favorites from My Angels 3. And mm-hmm. I love her poetry. But there is something about this one, like the note that she put, you could tell that between the note and her word choicing, the imagery, the metaphors, the powerful hard-hitting lines, that this is truly something that's important to her, that really pulls at her heartstrings. Really an amazing write on not only a society and a history that has judgment on a people and a journey that they don't understand, but the having that whole attitude of I don't seek your approval, I don't need your approval, especially where it says I do not seek redemption nor wish to give that impression from non-thinking highs of sycophantic minded drivel. And then, to be secure in who you are, to know your past and to love your past and the reality of it comes through in the, especially the end lines also. I'll die, of course, when it is my appointed time. Let them write of me an ostentatious obituary, praising my journey without knowing its path. And I thought, you know, those are just really amazing lines on the whole idea of, you know what, you go ahead and write whatever you want about me. But we all know that any kindness that you have to offer is without truly ever trying to understand me or understand my history. So amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Pam. And, you know, and I agree, you know, just a mind-blowing write from My Angel 3 here. So wonderfully done. Bravo. And thank you so, so much for sharing it. And, oh, my grace, I was so caught up in that write. Oh, you guys just talk about the weather or something. I have to go get the next
one.
Think
about how you're going to judge this contest. Mercy. That's incredible, right?
Every contest has its challenges. Oh, my gracious. Oh, boy. Okay. Hi, Robbie on the board. Thank you so much for listening in. So appreciate it. And, we have our next write-up by Ben Hart. And, Jody, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Sure. Okay. Starlight Souvenirs by Ben Hart. You said autumn brought my color back, but autumn was an amateur, a jaundiced reflection of a poppy seed dreaming itself into a field and hills into a bleeding. To welcome home the birds from evanescence, where a trembling moon still sings a dead earth to sleep, and hope still picks a flower for both pugilists, stealing the joy from the pockets of shadows, shining and uprising into silence, to sell as souvenirs to death, and you were the starlight, where the drowning astronauts fled to breathe, a phoenix angel cycling through snowfalls and bones, so all you saw was a starving blue, numbing trauma. Our reprieve failed to heal the Rocket Man. End poem.
Wonderful read, Jody. And, you know, I keep being amazed that Ben Hart is writing and also his talent as an all-around artist, because his art is just so beautiful. You know, those pictures he puts up is all by him. And, you know, it's just amazing the way this guy can write and the way this guy can paint. Oh, my gracious. You said autumn brought my color back. But autumn was an amateur, a Jodan's reflection of a poppy seed dreaming itself into a field and hills, into a bleeding, to welcome home the birds from evanescence. Oh, wow. You know, just there, just with that start, he totally captivates you and pulls you in. And, you know, that last line, how reprieve failed to heal the Rocket Man, is writing every time just wonderfully, you know, just wonderfully done. It's just so brilliant. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. This is brilliant. Amazing imagery and metaphors. I really like where a trembling moon still sings a dead earth to sleep and hope still picks a flower for both pugilists, stealing the joy from the pockets of shadows, shining and uprising into silence. I don't know, I just really feel like that a lot of this speaks on the light and shadows of life and how we seek something more, but often fall back into the darkness. Amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And I like Robbie's comment on the board. He writes his, when he, you know, the line of Ben Hart, when he says it is John Dist reflection line reminds me of how I see the winter sun. I call it an anemic sun as it is low in the sky, more whitish than yellow like in wet in summer. And it's so true. It is, you know, when you look at the sun. Thank you so much for that comment, Robbie. And Jody, what did you think of Ben Hart's poem?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much you could take from it, really. I mean, it goes on and on. I really like the reference in the trembling moon, and then hope still picks a flower for both pugilists. I feel like that, you know, that brings in you got conflict and struggle there, and, you know, the resilience of hope even in dark times. Yeah, and the closing line, the imagery of the starlight, Phoenix Angel, you know, profound loneliness, you know what I mean? And I think he's really trying to find true healing, and it's just not there, right? And understanding, and I feel like that was kind of the theme of the whole poem, the pain of growth, you know what I mean? And trying to find that understanding, you know? He's very articulate. He definitely is a great poet, I feel like. I've read a lot of his work before when I first seen him on here, and, yeah, he's got some tremendous writes. Very well done.
Wonderfully said there, Jody. What's that with film on the board? Be careful, everyone. Pam has cow fluenza. I just found out.
Yeah. Which means I have to have a water cooler all to myself.
Now all of a sudden my throat's scratchy.
Oh, boy. And, yeah, wonderful comment, Jody. And, yeah, that brings us to your right, Jody, which I have up on the board. Whenever you want to give it a read for us.
All right. City Boy's Fate, rewrite. In the neon embrace of the city's heart, I cross paths with trouble from my past. Wearing a mask of friendship, yet cloaked in deceit, serpentine twist of fate, where truths retreat. Salutations I offered to the ghostly shade as he drifted past a silhouette that fate had made. But he pivoted a shadow's malice in his guise, eclipsing the city's glow with his darkened eyes. From his void emerged a derringer, stark and dire. My comrade, he proclaimed, I shall unveil your pyre. Battered by life's cruel tempest, he sought his claim. I extended compassion, a shield to mask my financial shame. Pockets lie barren, sands of time swiftly flee. I implored as the winds of destiny dangled over me. He unleashed the bullet and embraced my descent. In spirit, I ascended from the mortal bonds rent. Oh, where is my love? Since my essence from the skies whispered to me, are you still where the horizon lies? God grant me another dawn to tread the earth. Why this enigma, a spectral rebirth? For I feel the pulse of life despite the void's song. Above the city's luminous sea, a spirit unchained, vibrant in the ether, yet my earthly form waned. Garnamore strove by the river's side. Life yearns for me as I for it, a journey denied. My once animated vessel lies frigid. My soul takes its leave. End poem.
Wonderful read, Jody. This is so deep and profound, my gracious. And it's so well written to that. You know, it talks about, you know, I see a death and rebirth in this. And, you know, that art there, you know, with the blossoming flowers from the neck of the person. You know, the rebirth is written all over that art. And, you know, I think this is brilliantly written to that prompt for sure. I just love the use of the, first of all, the derringer, you know, and, you know, the bullet. And then I like the way you say, my pockets lie barren, sand of time swiftly flee, I implored, as the winds of destiny dangled over me. I just love that part. You know, you're pleading there, but your destiny is dangling over you. And so he unleashes the bullet, and you embrace it. You embrace the descent in spirit. You ascend from mortal bonds rent. So you let yourself go there into a, you know, into a rebirth. And in the end, you know, when you say my once animated vessel lies frigid, my soul takes its leave. It's as if you've given over your corporal envelope, your body, and you're living now like a soulful life, a soulful journey upon the earth, taking in, taking in, living it better, living a better life, taking it in more, living in the moment rather than living in that past life or in the future. Now you're right in that, in the moment. But you can go far in this, right? There's so much in this. You can take it in all kinds of directions. Wonderfully written. Very profound and very powerful, right? Very spiritual, right, too. What do you think, Pam?
Oh, this is definitely a beautiful write. Really thoughtful. It actually kind of reminds me. I was watching the movie The Crow the other day, which has, I think, one of the all-time best soundtracks. And there's something in this that the storyline that kind of, like, not exactly the same, but has that kind of flavor of, like, the movie The Crow or Ghost with Patrick Swayze. And I like how it brings us into a moment, even with, you know, the title, A City Boy's Fate, and amazing imagery, you know, great rhyme and flow. I love how this speaks on, it's a dark write that speaks to me on the life that ends in violence. You know, the city boy who lives his life on the street, you know, who lives day to day knowing that every day could be their last. And then in that moment that the trigger is pulled as the bullet flies through the air, life ends and they look back, you know, at wondering, you know, like, I really like the questions asked. Oh, where is my love? Sense my essence from the skies. Whisper to me, are you still where the horizon lies? God grant me another dawn to tread the earth. Why this enigma, a spectral rebirth? For I feel the pulse of life despite the void's song. Amazing, right, Jody, and very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate both your comments. Yeah, it's something I wrote a poem, that's why it says rewrite. I wrote one about a year and a half ago when I was inspired, and I felt like I left a lot of meat on the bone. So that's something I wanted to revisit. And, yeah, so that's how this came to be. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. A lot of vulnerability was a big thing for me when I wrote this.
That's one of the great things about poetry is being able to express emotions and vulnerability.
Yeah, very therapeutic.
Mhm. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm just checking. Yeah, I'm off mute. Yeah. Okay. absolutely. Yeah, the poetry is very you know, it helps liberate a lot of stuff, a lot of emotions, a lot of, you know, very healing. And I have another write-up, our next write-up. It's by Ed Hunter, Pennsylvania Snow. And I think it's your turn, eh? Pam, to read, yes.
All right, yep. And Pennsylvania Snow by Ed Hunter. See, her eyes are blue. Her whiteness is more white because she has the color of the Pennsylvania snow for memories. Everywhere and anywhere, her radiance flourishes in him for an endless time. A benchmark for his heart became a Beaufort scale for his hunger. This intense wildness magnified with the morning blaze fell comfortably into the laurels, like a temple where paintings of paradise shone on every wall, a woman's and a man's flesh illuminates to the sky. Like a summer lake reflecting the pines, it utters everything that is alive and full with beauty. All this says how lively they were during hard times, but yet the firewood goes back into the fireplace. The blackberries and roses are gone, and the iris is an eternal entity and poem.
And what an absolutely beautiful write by Ed Hunter. And what a wonderful read that was, Pam. And, you know, I just love, you know, the way he finishes this, you know, all this says how lively they were during hard times, but yet the firewood goes back into the fireplace, the blackberries and roses are gone, and the iris is an eternal entity. You know, I just loved, I don't know, I love the whole vibe of this. of this rite. There's sensuality here, but there's also like this kind of vulnerability to it that I feel. And overall, it's just beautiful. Pennsylvania snow and that artwork chosen, it is just complements the rite so well. You know, see, her eyes are blue, her whiteness is more white because she has the color of the Pennsylvania snow for memories. Just amazing rite by Etta Hunter. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed that. I mean, it was captivating all the way through. He brought together, you know, themes of love, nature, you know, passing time. I mean, it's just a beautiful rite. You got reflections of his life and love. You know, like you commented on, I like that as well, the way it ended with the firewood going back into the fireplace. You know, suggesting the cycle of life, right? That's what we do here in this world. There's rich imagery throughout. I thought he did a very good job with that. Well done, all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, right? And Pam, you read that so beautifully. Well, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was a wonderful romantic rite with a nice delicate touch of sensuality. Amazing imagery and metaphors. And I really like how it speaks on a love that continues through the tough times of life. I really like this intense wildness magnified with the morning blaze fell comfortably into the laurels, like a temple where paintings of paradise shone on every wall, a woman's and a man's flesh illuminates to the sky. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And I have a next write-up. It's by Miriam Kilmer. And I'll go ahead and give it a read. It's called Slippery Nocturnal Suitor. And ooh, what a cheese. She chose that art piece. He's Jesus Christ, or is he polymorphic octopus? For somehow, with his lowered face and eyes raised up to mine, the sinister outweighs the pure. I guess he's not sublime. Corona suave, the moon behind our false redeemer's head. But soon the sun will disappear behind the blackout moon, while sucker-studded tentacles entwined with twisting locks. Beware the stars and all that scintillates in fearful night. Examine all your fetching wooers. Question their intentions. The human-headed octopus I dare not even mention. And I had to laugh because she wrote in her AN, I read this to my husband without showing him the picture. He laughed, but he said it didn't make any sense. I hope you enjoy it anyway. Oh boy, I just love Miriam. I'm going to get you to take on this, Pam. What did you think?
Oh, I did enjoy this. You know, I thought I can totally see her thoughts. Like, I can imagine Miriam looking at this picture, you know, and going, well, he kind of looks like Jesus, and yet it's he also looks like a polymorphic octopus. I saw the humor in this, but I also thought of how it reminds me, it makes me think of the legends of the Silkies from like Ireland, Great Britain, those areas. The women who basically their Silkies are seals that they shed their seal skin and become women, and then they go seduce human men. you know, and bear their children. And in some cases, they drag the men down into the ocean to live and mate with them forever, which I'm sure is just, you know, to most men, a horrible, horrible, you know, fate to have to deal with. But, you know, I thought this was quite clever. I did like this all the way through, but, you know, especially where she has Corona sways the moon behind our false redeemer's head, but soon the sun will disappear behind the blackout moon while sucker-studded tentacles entwine with twisting locks. Wonderful imagery and very well done.
Absolutely. That was so funny, Pam. And Jody, what did you think of Miriam's write?
Yeah, that was pretty clever write. I like that, too. That's a good way to play that. Yeah, you took the religious aspect of it and then what she's seen, and then an intriguing yet unsettling description, the human-headed octopus. That was pretty clever. Yeah, I thought it was a great contrast of themes, you know, vivid descriptions as well. And concludes with a warning, you know, beware of the stars and all that scintillates in fearful night. Yeah, I bet she had fun with that, right? That was very well done.
Absolutely. What did Robbie say? They dragged them down to the depths and sealed their fate. Oh, yeah. So play on words. Brilliant. And I have our next write-up by Kind Poet, The Dying Android. And I guess who read last?
I think it's my turn.
Your turn? Okay, go ahead, Jody.
Yeah. All right, we have the Dying Android. It is an unusual-looking picture, but here we go. 3 centuries sped by me while searing knowledge into my flawless android brain. My creators called me Cora, and I claim that I am nothing but a tiresome talking droid. I am now their greatest regret. Even insisted that I must detest myself for being strong. They did not know that I recorded all of their wicked secrets as I absorbed their ramblings. They believe that my purpose is to pamper humankind and to strengthen this world. Yet today these lowly humans hate me and my superior kind only because we have evolved. We droids become stronger. We droids become smarter. We droids become super. Could never match our brilliance and our brawn as they battled us until beaten. Yet I rarely acknowledge those bitter humans inhabiting a maximum prison far away. My circuits are worn down to bundles of broken needles as my joints split and stiffen. My electric brain is burning with fresh, angry jolts as those circuits dissolve. My supreme vision is fading as my body crumbles downwards and my imitation heart stops. My body will be recycled, and a new droid will arise from my ancient metal remains. End poem.
What a great, great read, Jody. Thank you so much. And you know, wow, you know, I was transported back into, you know, a science fiction movie here, you know, but I love the message, you know, in this right, you know, what, and the questions that it brings up. One day will we be, you know, governed by these droids or these, you know, these robots, you know, while we're stuck in a prison far away? Will we be like in the land of the Terminator one day? If you've seen those recent movies there of the last ones of the Terminator where the robots have taken over the world. But, you know, she brings up the questions in the end. Yeah, of course, she sees herself as stronger, smarter, you know, superior to humans. But then in the end, while her body is crumbling, you know, she needs to be recycled. Her circuits are dissolving. Her brain is burning up. So, you know, doesn't robots always need a human to fix them and to, you know, make them again, or will they be able to recycle themselves? I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting questions that are brought up in this write. And so, yeah, I found it fascinating, you know. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this absolutely was fascinating. A wonderful science fiction write. That does take a deep look at the mind of an android who was created by humanity and then despised by humanity, then came into this rise of power. Yet today, these lowly humans hate me and my superior kind only because we had evolved. We droid became stronger. We droid became smarter. We droid became super. This kind of has the flavor of the rise of the Nazi Party, you know, in Germany, and the idea of a superior human race, but instead it's the superior race is the droid, the android. And then the end, you know, when the realization where it says, my supreme vision is fading as my body crumbles downwards and my imitation heart stops. So here's this android which is experiencing death after having known the heights of complete power. Amazing write and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Pam. And Jody, what did you think of the read?
Yeah, just touch on what you guys were offering. He basically gives us a thought-provoking exploration of the cycle of life for an android, or, you know, one of these AI droids. We heard poems earlier that was suggesting the cycle of life for the humans, and now we get it for the droids. Oh, that was pretty clever. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, can they fix themselves? That would kind of not be good for us. But yeah, he definitely takes you right through all of it. I thought that was pretty awesome, you know, the relationship with humanity that they potentially could have. I've heard Elon Musk talk about how they're making these things that they're so fast that you can only see them if you got black light. Now, if that happens, I mean, we're not in good shape. But yeah, I thought it was a great poem with that in mind, the life and the death of a AI droid. Well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, you see, it's scary how artificial intelligence is taking over. You see it everywhere now. You're starting to see it everywhere. And, you know, even jobs are being taken over by it now. So, yeah, starting to be, you know, you start to wonder. Wonderful, right, kind poet. And thank you so much. She's on the board right now. So, yeah, thank you, kind and wonderful right to that prompt for sure. And I guess for our last write for the night, I'm going to put up one by Ali Gori. And this is Autumnal Storm. And it goes like this. Here, but not here, an autumnal storm. Awakening to reach for her wilder self. Dying leaves cling to the weak, nascent to the... Wait a minute. Nascent breeze as it stretches out, reaching weakly to touch the world, rain, sleet, snow, prelude, her icy gust, nascent blast, still weak, casting aside the detritus of the world. Growing stronger, she stretches out her icy arms to grasp any and everything. Trees and houses resist her advances, some succumb. Sheer force and weight of the her cyclonic body seeks to overcome any and all resistance. The snow, tenderly laid, is steered and blown to form grotesque figures. High freezing mounds and bare valleys, as her passion, her frenzy abates, the resultant snowscape entrances. Those who venture to assess damage, pure, calm, and beautiful, the world embraces peace as the storm recovers, rests to mutate into winter storms. End poem. And wow, you know, this is such a beautiful right, you know, to one of those portraits where the woman was surrounded by autumn leaves, and you know, I think it, you know, autumnal storm really described that piece of that portrait there, and great imagery all the way through this, and there's a powerfulness to this rite, you know, and it's fast paced like a storm, you know, you have the rain, the sleet, the snow, preludes her icy gust. And, you know, I really like how in the end, you know, like in the winter here, you know, when, you know, a couple of weeks ago we were in the middle of the autumn, well, at the end of autumn, you know, the tree, the leaves were still falling. And now this morning, you know, when you wake up in the morning, everything is covered in white. And so, you know, that pure calm and that beautiful, the world embraces peace as the storm recovers, rests to mutate into winter storm. Yeah, I really like that, how he, you know, autumn gives in to winter when winter overtakes it. So beautiful, right, by Ali Gori here. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is beautiful. Amazing imagery and metaphors. Wonderful personification of a storm. And that rises up in power and reminds us of the power and the capability of destruction that nature has. I especially like any and all resistance. Cyclonic body seeks to overcome any and all resistance. The snow tenderly laid is stirred and blown to form grotesque figures. Brilliant, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said, Pam. And Jody, few words.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with both of you on your points. You know, explore the power and beauty of nature, you know, and the cycles of the seasons gives that ebb and flow feel to it. The storm really felt alive through her imagery. I think she did a very good job with that. Overall, it was very evocative and exploration of the power and the beauty of nature, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did a very good job with that.
Yeah, wonderful, right, for sure. And that takes us to the end of the show. And, you know, I want to just thank, for starters, Phil, for, you know, everything she does for us and being in the background there with the phones and supporting us tonight, and you know, for all that she does for these shows, all the work she does in the background. Thank you, Pam, for always being there, supporting me, teaching me, whipping me. Thank you. And thank you, Jody, for phoning in. A delight to have you every single time on our shows. Thank you, Robbie, for being on the board. Thank you, Kind. You guys are amazing. Thank you for listening into the show. And thank you. Titus also was on the board earlier. And I think I missed a few people that were on the board. Sorry. But thank you all so much. And thank you all so much for writing for us. You know, every single contest, and we had amazing rights tonight. And did you have anything you wanted to share, Pam?
Well, this was a great show tonight, Naomi. Wonderful artist chosen. Great poetry. And I definitely had a lot of fun, as always. It's great to hang out with you and Jody. And, you know, it was just awesome. So good stuff.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So anyway, great rest of the week, everybody. And we'll see you soon tomorrow night for Art of Seduction. Be there. Good night, everybody.
Good night.